had to change the program, the time, due to unforeseen events. Certainly not no lights. But the reality is that Professor Ben Turok was rushed to hospital in the early hours of this morning. And as you know, he was scheduled to present. And his wife informed us. So, I mean, we must keep him in our prayers. I'm sure you would all agree. And then Miss Bridget Khadebe, who's heading up the South, what is it, SAMDA, you know, she was coming and she's been in an accident. So two of our key presenters are not with us this morning, but I'm sure you join me in wishing them both well. Right. Having said that, I am just looking at the agenda here. We do have minutes on board, and I'm not sure, let's see, I don't think we have to change anything. We may finish a little earlier. I'm hoping we can finish just before 12, because we've got major debates on today in this portfolio. Can we have someone to propose the adoption of the agenda? Honorable Buyani.
But yours is working.
Mine is working, you see. I think that could just be a glitch. There we are.
I rise to propose for the adoption of the agenda, Chairperson. Thank you.
Seconded by Honorable Williams.
I second, Chair.
And do we have any apologies, Mr. Medima? We don't. We do have an apology which we've just received from the Honorable Tierko, who is in labor but hopes to join us again. She would have been here to start with had we started at 8:30. Right. Who else? What about Honorable Esterhazen? All right, well, we didn't get a response. Having done that then, let us move on. And the sugarcane industry is, as arranged, here to see us and engage us, and we are hoping, we've got here the sugar South African cane growers on the transformation in the industry. We are also going to get a status report from SASA, and a briefing by SAFTA. So I'm going to recognize the different people here. The South African cane growers. Do we have Dr. Kathy Hurley here? Right. Commercial executive. In the 16 days of activism, they don't allow you to sit in front. Is that how it works? And then Mr. Andrew Russell, board member. Thank you. Mr. Higgins Mdluli, board member. Mr. Rex Talmage, is that correct, Rex? Yes, board member. Mr. Sydney Rapinga, I just can't, there we are, board member. Mr. Tim Sabisi, board member, thank you. Ms. Dupua Ntuli, board member. Right, a woman keeping the back row busy. And then Ms. Nolasizo Mzaneli, board member. Right, thank you. So that's the South African cane growers. We will recognize the others in due course. In terms of DTI, where is DTI? So far away, huh? Ms. Tandi Pele, Acting DDG, IDD, Industrial Development. The Dr. Taboho Makube, Chief Director. I did see him. Yes, thank you. Miss Mametse Kumane, thank you, and Dr. Nimrod Zulk, Industrial Development Policy and Strategy Advisor. I thought I saw him earlier, but I could be mistaken. Can we please have whoever's going to be talking to the cane growers issue up front, please, in the front row? So who's going to be talking to us, addressing us? I'd like to see four people up front, if possible. And then we have Ms. Nkomisa Mkata Mfloli from DTI. From DTI. So I'm not sure why you're sitting with the committee, my dear. Did you become an MP? Right. We're going to start immediately. And what you should have noted, I'm just looking, I know this is going back, is the Honourable MacPherson has got an apology. He's actually at the World Trade Organization. Yes. So let's not forget these things. Thank you. Right. Now, you were allocated about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Is that right? So it's up to you who leads and who takes charge of the presentation. Unfortunately, we don't have any electrics at the moment, so that is unfortunate. Do we have hard copies? Good, let's go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Higgins Mzuli, as indicated, from South African Growers Farming in Mpumalanga. I will try to go through the presentation. I'm not sure how I will get the honourable members to follow on the slides, but we'll try.
Are they not numbered?
Or the numbers, yeah. We would like to express our sincere gratitude to the honourable Chairperson, FAPS, and honourable members for giving us an opportunity to address you on the contribution of SA cane growers, the contribution that they've made on the transformation so far. The organization will further like to associate itself with the presentation that the industry will make. And also we're looking forward to participating and developing the five-year plan of the transformation plan that we believe will result in a sustainable and a profitable grower sector. Our members have continued to support transformation activities of the industry, and we are currently proud to indicate that 25% of the sugar that is delivered at the different mills come from black growers. We know, although that there are many interventions that have already taken place to assist the black farmers, but we think there's still a lot more that can be done. We can indicate some of the contribution. The example would be the immense contribution that the cane growers have contributed towards the development of the business plans that resulted to the 315 million recap land reform growers. We will also like to acknowledge that there's still a lot that needs to happen in order to achieve true transformation. But for these interventions to succeed, we believe in establishing a sustainable and a profitable black grower sector in the industry, which obviously industry which is currently volatile with a lot of with costs that are high and the revenue that is impacted by a lot of other a number of economic factors driven largely by our sole reliance on sugar and molasses. We, our organization, have a proud history of putting of unifying all race groups. We've noted that in 1992, when it merged, making sure that all races were equally treated. If we were to look at slide number 5, which I think is the core basis of how SA Cream Growers is formed. We are working from bottom up, and then we start from individual farmers like myself as an individual farmer. That representation, as you see, we're talking here of board members and Congress members. The representation starts from individual farmers who belong to local associations where they group each other and farm. From there, representatives are elected to represent them at member of the organizations where we call them milk cane committees at the different areas where they operate, 26 of them. And the Congress, which then takes more decisions and elect the board members, get elected from each and every member association from the 26, electing people to local grower councils. And that's where then we get 5 representatives from each local grower council, which are 14, 5 going to Congress to formulate the representation. So that 5 is comprised of two representatives from small-scale growers, 2 from large-scale growers, and 2 from land reform growers. If that representation is constituted that way, when all member associations are represented, when all local grower councils are represented, it will result in a representation of Congress, which will be on a 60-40 basis, making 60% black grower representation, the 40% commercial grower representation. That the representation continues also to our board level, where we've realized we from the board, which is elected democratically at Congress, we have 14 board members, 7 of which are black growers, 6 plus 1 female, and currently one of our chairpersons, deputy chairpersons, is a female grower. We also sent 10 representatives to SASA, 5 of which of whom are black representative black growers. We would like to indicate that obviously if you look at our structure, we've got black cane growers represented at the highest level, from the bottom up to the highest level, well represented. We obviously, the other slides, they will also try and show the demographics, which indicates the profiles that shows that even the representation today, the group that you see today amongst us, we've got board members, farmers from large scale, farmers from small scale, and we are well represented at that level. We also, if you were to be looking at the slide number 8, it does indicate, slide number 8 here, there are two points that are highlighted where it indicates that currently we have got 22.3% of land that has already been transferred as part of the transformation. There's also a potential of 40% that will be transferred depending on how quick that process will go, which is under claim. So we're looking at a number of still more hectares that will be transferred if that process is complete. We believe our honourable members will also be helping in that process with the, how the process go in that what is currently happening. If we look at the industry statistics, we will understand, honourable members, that we're operating within an industry where having land is not good enough unless it is translated into economic activity. And that is what is more important to us. It's important to note that despite all the current challenges that we're having in the sugar industry, it still makes a lot of important contribution, especially in those areas in Mpumalanga and in KZN and in those rural areas. So we have a lot of farmers, farm workers, and a lot of employees whose livelihood depends solely in this industry. It is therefore for this reason, honourable members, that the transformation plan that we should be able to produce should be sustainable to make sure that the economic contribution that is currently the economic contribution that is currently there continues and it improves. We, as a cane growers, we are a farmer organization representing the interest of and providing a range of services to our members. They are listed in the slide, in slide number 10. As listed there, those are the services that we pride ourselves in providing. The most important of which is making sure is to achieve the best price for the sugar cane while ensuring that the industry costs remain affordable for all farmers, especially small-scale growers. I think honourable members are also familiar with the contribution in terms of the intervention, the 172 million, but just to highlight that if you look at it, 64% of that contribution as part of the transformation is a contribution from all from farmers. And within SA Cane Growers budget, we have got 15 million that is directly linked to small-scale growers and land reform growers in the form of the services that we offer to them. So that is directly a benefit to that sector. We believe as we are of opinion that transformation must grow the pie from not only us currently relying on sugar and molasses, but we would like to that pie to be grown to electricity generation, ethanol production, and any other value-added products. This, obviously, honourable members, may need the sugar industry agreement to be reviewed and allow each miller to investigate the opportunities at each and every different areas within whatever opportunities are happening within their area of their own cane supply.
Oops, sorry.
We will again indicate that we believe our honourable members are better placed to be able to help us in this regard. But obviously, coupled with that one, we believe the industry will be truly transformative if the plan that we are talking about succeeds in growing the numbers of more black farmers and also the tonnage that they have to produce in the industry. Not only increasing the pie and leaving only the few numbers, but we also talk about growth in terms of increasing the people who are benefiting from those numbers. We, as Acorn Growers, are happy to also indicate, to propose that we believe we put forward reasonable targets that we think are achievable. two of them we mentioned, to be able to grow the number of the growers to more than 50% within the next 10 years. And also, we have to put it in numbers, to put in the numbers to 30,000 at least within the next 5 years. We believe 10 years. 10 years is more reasonable. It can happen before that, but we think it's more practical if we put it in that way. But also coupled with that, we believe that needs a carefully designed transformation plan with all stakeholders putting the future of the industry first. That is what we believe will be a successful transformation plan. Honorable members, we also believe as a growers that empowerment needs to happen in the fields of the grower sector. And we are of the opinion that this can only be successful if successfully done through partnership with commercial and established growers. Already we have seen such benefits of this kind of partnerships in Mpumalanga through Lukukuletu taking 50% shareholding at Agwanze, which is the farmers' bank. We've seen it at the creation of the Zululand agricultural holdings with commercial and small-scale farmers partnering in a logistic company. We've also seen it in the shareholdings of black small-scale farmers in at least two mills at KZN. Also, the 50-50 joint ventures where farm workers became partners with commercial farmers. And of course, from our side, as the SA Econ Growers, the funeral scheme that has been that is being provided now to assist farmers, small scale growers, and their children through their time of need. We in conclusion, Honorable Chairperson and members, we are proposing. We believe, as in Kongowas, that the transformation plan will make a true difference if it includes some of the proposal that we are putting forward. The second last slide indicates that we talk about supporting an integrated approach with the industry and government. Commercial farmers to partner with neighboring communities to share knowledge, technology, and skills. To continue with skill training and support of business and governance of cooperatives. Also to subsidize fire and drought assurance facilities for small scale growers. To subsidize electricity and water costs for small growers. Scale grower irrigation project. Also, to utilize the SA Econ Growers innovations like the biodigester technology to reduce electricity cost through green energy. Also, the industry structure to make use of the blended finance model to cane development and ratoon management. To also prioritize projects that focus on women and youth. And I'm sure Honorable Chairperson will be happy if we to say that, especially during this 16th day of activism. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, it has been a great honor to address you today. As I can grow, as you've already heard, is a diverse organization which is committed to transformation for the sugar industry that is sustainable and inclusive. We would not like to only thank you for this presentation, but we would also like to extend an invite to honorable members of the Portfolio Committee to come and witness yourself and observe what we are talking about, to come to our offices, to come, we can take you through all the processes, whatever that we're talking about, so that you can get a feel. We would like to extend that invitation at your earliest convenience, that you come and witness exactly what we are talking about. We would like to thank you, Honourable Members and Honourable Chairperson.
This has finally gone, and it's right. Thank you very much for that presentation. I know that members would like to clarify a few points, so let us allow that, but also keep in mind, members, that at the end we may want to absorb everything and go into greater depth. So Honourable Williams, Honourable McLaubel, Honourable Buyani, are we at that point? Honourable Tlangwini. Thank you. Honourable Alberts, did either of you, Honourable Kachalia, want to comment or clarify anything? All right, okay. All right. No, thank you, Honourable Kachalia. Do go ahead, Honourable Williams.
Thank you, Chair. I just have one question. There's a slide, I can't see the page numbers. It talks about industry statistics. It says that the grower's share of revenue is 64%. Of the total 14 billion average revenue. I just want to know, of that 9 billion rand, what percentage of that money goes to black farmers? And also on the export earnings, I don't know if that's a different figure or if the 9 billion includes the export earnings, but if not, what percentage of that 3.7 billion rand goes to black growers? Thank you.
Right. Honourable McLaubel.
No, thanks, Comrade Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Well, probably, I'm not sure, Comrade Chair. I think we should agree, or probably DTI must agree, assist. What are the transformation pillars are we looking for the industry? Because it seems to me, Comrade Chair, our areas of focus on the imperatives of transformation are not the same. There is a transformation, to me, that is more mechanical. It does not bring about fundamental change. It's more cosmetic. Then there are deeper transformation issues. For us to be able to engage with you, let's agree, what are these pillars of transformation you seek to address? There are those that are structural, there are those that are economical, there are those that are social. On the social component, we are referring to matters of representativity. And you can see that in as much as you have some black representativity, we are falling so short when it comes to issues of women representation. And it does not actually give a clear picture to say what is the women participation in the whole cane growers value chain. My little experience is that most of the people who are working in those particular industries where cane is being grown, especially I'm from Mpumalanga, but I also stayed in KwaZulu-Natal, there are many women who are actually working there, many women, that have actually kept the industry on its foot. And some of the benefits and the profits we have experienced and growth and sometimes tribulations has been at the back of these women, unsung heroines. And just to have one woman in the board, ultimately, the one person is now a deputy or a vice president. To me, comrades, it doesn't look okay. I don't want to cast aspersion. It doesn't look okay. From a PR exercise, it can look okay. But really, is this the kind of transformation you want to do? The answer is no. Secondly, I think I will not be able to go to details. There are serious matters in the you see your transformation structural must also demonstrate the value chain. Remember, if you grow, you are in the cane growers, a family, there is a value chain. And you will want to know at various levels of the value chain, what are the key aspects to look at. Then there is a question, the most important question, the question of assets. You know the question of land, who owns the land and who plows in the land. And what is your attitude? Remember yesterday we passed the most fundamental question, the national question that made the ANC to be formed in 1912. Only two songs were sung in 1912, January 8. It was about the land question. And then the other song, it was a prayer that God must be able to hear our prayer. Those were the two songs were sung. Therefore, how is this industry going to be able to be in a position to prepare to respond to that historical question? Because we are going to go ahead. We are going to be in a position to actually ensure that this land is shared among those who work it. And that transformation element must start to look at the issues of assets, not only for males or black people, but for women. But I'm not sure that we can talk about it now until we say, is our understanding of transformation imperative the same? What are the pillars? Then we can start to work on the modalities. Therefore, it becomes a real meaningful transformation of the industry. Apart from that, there are issues around economy, whether is it growing the industry? Are we expanding the cake? When we are going to do the expansion, what is the premium that must be paid? Who must pay it and so forth? I think I'll just stop with that, Chair. It's too thin to engage.
Thank you very much, Honourable McLaughlin, Honourable Languini. Oh, sorry, yes, Honourable Buyani.
Chair, thanks. Yeah, it's very much difficult to talk after Honourable McLaughlin. Yeah, Comrade McLaughlin. But I think I have two questions. Clarity seeking question. One, I can see there's an AGM which was held probably a few months or so. Then I wanted to check in terms of the transformation. Do we have an agonogram? Because if you can see clearly, there are elements of funding in the process. Then I want also to check whether our fellow brothers knows what is fronting or a transformation. Those are just few questions. Then also, Chair, there are reports, man, that small growers dropped from 50,000 to 20,000 under their watch. I just want to check whether these are true, and if it's true, why? I think this other Comrade Matova has partly dealt with it, Chair. And also, Chair Kwelse, I hear they said of 10-year transformation plan. Is that what they want to achieve in 10 years from now, the question of the transformation? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mayor. Buyani, Honourable Languini.
Thank you very much, Chair. Sorry. Indeed, it's very difficult to speak after. You must, in fact, speak last, Chair, and give us a chance. You must pass a resolution. For me, Chair, I fully agree with the sentiments of my colleagues. What I want to check, Chair, for me, personally, I feel the presentation is very flawed. It's very flawed. It doesn't speak properly to transformation agenda. And I feel it's a complete flawed process. Maybe perhaps they can speak.
There appears to be some exigency here. One moment. Yes, what is it, please? All right, no, what he was informing us of, and that is important, that this meeting is not being recorded, you know, due to the electricity challenges. Is it load shedding or what these days? Well, whatever, we don't have electricity on all the facilities. And so he was just informing us that it is not recorded. The mics are on, but it's not recording, as long as we are aware of that.
But,
Honourable Chair, yes, just on this issue.
Yeah, on this issue.
I think, Chairperson, we've got the secretaries who are appointed by Parliament. Let them do their work now, seriously.
There was Parliament before electricity. So I don't think we governed by electricity. Honourable Tlangwini.
Chair, with your permission, the Comrade Secretary, they also have these assistive devices.
No, but the point is he had, he was asked to inform us so we could let you know, which we've done. Is this, now I do want, I'll have to go back to Honourable Tlangwini, Honourable Elbert.
No,
it's
but
purely on electricity.
Yeah. Madam Chair, now I just want to say that the Honourable Mathlobu must know that National Intelligence is also recording us, so we don't have to worry.
All right, well, no. Now, having interrupted the Honourable Tlangwini, but I didn't want to not listen to what you were saying while somebody was whispering in my ear.
Yeah.
So, sorry, you referred to the fact that the presentation was not what you had expected.
Yeah,
right.
Thank you very much, Chair, on that. I've said, and I think it should be recorded, that for me the presentation is very flawed. You know, to have black people in a structure doesn't necessarily say that they have power. And for me, the presentation doesn't speak to that these people necessarily have to possess the power within the structure. And then secondly, I didn't check when they introduced the gentleman that did the presentation, what is his role on the structure, and why was the CEO not making the presentation, and why him? That speak to the issues, and maybe I can be... negotiated or landed differently, but it speaks to me to the flawness of it. You know, too many times black people was used as a front, and they were used as a front for white benefits, and I don't want to see the same situation happening, that you come to Parliament and you do a presentation, yet you don't possess that certain power within that structure. Just to do, and it's not an insult to you, my brother. If you take it as that, it's not personally attached to you. But I'm just saying, I don't want that to persist within the structure. That is not what we seek to achieve, to replace the black face, and then that is our transformation agenda. We don't want that. And then secondly, on the other point, they speak about amendment or the constitution that was amended in 1986. Still, it's too far-fetched. You still live on a constitution and seek that constitution is still going, it's transformed according to you. Democracy was achieved in 1994, and we are working anything prior to that, after 1994. Something before 1994, we can't say that thing was totally seeking to achieve and improving the lives of black people. So if you're still going to use and work on that constitution, then we'll have to seek and look at that constitution, Chair, because it's not going to achieve what we want to achieve within this industry. And then there's the one on the PIES charts. If we can have the numbers, because to just put the pies like that and not speaking to numbers, it doesn't enlighten or give me any clarity as to per se how many people are there within this pies, what constitute that pies layout like that. Yeah, I think for now, Chair, it's only those few comments.
Thank you. If members received the list of who was coming, Mr. Higgins and Bluley did correct this himself. He's not a board member, as I understand it. He's a Congress member. It was misprinted. But just now we will clarify the functions of each group. Honourable Kachalia.
Thank you, Chair. I'm hearing comments from my colleagues here about difficulties that they have with this particular presentation, and there's accusations that it's flawed in terms of transformation and the like. Now, I think for me, the test as to whether it's flawed or not is predicated on a number of questions rather than statements. And the questions that I have would be, how many independent cane farmers do you represent? How many of those are emerging black farmers? And what, and I know it's somewhere in the presentation, but what is flowing in terms of funds, resources, and opportunities to these farmers? That, if you can clearly elucidate for us, will tell us what you're doing and how you're doing it, and will help us make our minds up of whether you're doing the right thing or not. Just to say it's flawed is a statement. I'm asking the questions which will determine whether they're flawed.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kachalia. In fact, that slide, sugarcane, South African cane growers, and growers' demographics, may have been the slide to have added a few extra columns to, so that that information is received. Thank you very much. We did try to ascertain where you were, and I'm glad you are now here, Honourable Yesterhays.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I can draw you a whole plan of the building now. The first time I ever came with the stairs up, I was from one side to the other. Sorry about it.
Understand, because I was suggesting we all go to a boot camp in preparation for this sort of thing, you see. But be that as it may, I wanted to ask a question. We're on the the sugar industry, Honourable Yesterhazen. In this regard, it's to do with the structure. I'm not sure that I fully understand the functions and roles of the Congress members and then the board members. What are their functions per se? And who is then the CEO, who's the chair, you know, that kind of thing, and who is the chief financial officer, or someone who fills that kind of role, and chief operating officer. That's the kind of thing, as you respond, if you would share with us as a start. In respect to the transformation, certainly some members were under the impression that the previous engagement which we held, there was, as it were, almost a plan ahead saying this is what would be achieved, etc. So we hope as we go through to SASA and then later to SAFTA and we engage you as a group afterwards, this is a preliminary engagement, that's all. So if you would respond, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I beg my pardon, Honorable. I think your last comment also clarified on the whole transformation. As I indicated when I was presenting, that we associate ourselves with the presentation that will be done by the INDRAS. I think the SASA presentation will give more clarity on some of the issues. Maybe then we can be able to address certain issues if they are not covered. Maybe the other two questions that I think are more direct. Honorable Mbuyane, yes, we know what fronting is. And I can put it on record that with what you see in front of you is not fronting. I am to also indicate the role why me presenting before becoming anything, I am a farmer. I've been a farmer since 1998. I'm a sugarcane farmer. I am no more. I became a small-scale grower and grew myself. I'm an established farmer now in the communal area. I am talking about farming 100 hectares of sugarcane. I'm delivering. I've got a quota number. I can give it. You can punch. It will tell you I am an authentic farmer. I have not been bought in the street to come and make a presentation. I am, by profession, I've been into engineering. I've been a consulting engineer for the past 17 years. I resigned to go and make farming, to do farming permanent from 2016. So I am not fronting. Before I go to Congress, I have to be a farmer. I sit in Congress because I'm a farmer representing, I'm a chairperson of a local association representing around 590 hectares and a member of the committee in others. All in all, I can indicate that I'm representing close to 1,000. So in terms of fronting, I will put on record that we are the reason why I have to present. Obviously, it's a choice of growers as to whether it's the CEO or what, but they have not hired someone to come and make a presentation. I am a farmer, sit in all the structures, and a Congress member. Hence, I've been requested from that level to make the presentation, just to clarify on the issues, to say why we are, why I am making the presentation rather than someone else. I think the other question, if we can be allowed as the comment, the last comment, maybe the other colleagues, if they can, there are specific questions where we can answer, but as proposed, after such a presentation, maybe other points must have been covered. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chairperson.
Just a minute. There was a note sent up to me by Ms. Is it Nonosizo Mzoneli? Are you a board member or Congress? Who sits on the board? So you're not a board member. All right. Thank you.
Chairperson, my question wasn't answered. It was very simple. Oh.
Okay. My name is Kiki Mzoneli. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to address you. I'd like to respond to some of the comments that were made by the honorable members there, especially the flawed, that were presenting the flawed presentation. I'd like to say it's not a flawed presentation. It represents black growers as well. And I'm a good example of a grower my family has been in the sugar industry as from the early 1900s. And I feel bad just because that document was part of the document that Ubabu Uluthuli was still a farmer in Groutville, just like me, when the document came out. The only difference is that there was a parallel association which was called a Groutville Farmers Association for Black People, and then there was Cane Growers Association. And then after years, today now we're part of Cane Growers because of the transformation that started long ago. And today we're benefiting from Cane Growers because of the transformation that started long ago. And just to answer you, is transformation for us as farmers who've been in sugarcane farming from the early 1900s. We feel like there is a movement because all the destabilization that we've experienced as black farmers from the time after the Anglo-Boer War, when the Boers wanted to take our land, when we were farming just because they didn't want us to farm next to them. But we're grateful that we still have our land, and we're grateful of the transformation that's been happening from our black communities in Crowdville, where we saw a sugarcane industry, a value chain of a sugarcane industry right in front of our eyes, and we want to share that with other farmers. We had a Melville, a miller right in Crowdville where our farmers used to farm right in our village and process ushugela and sell ushugela to our communities. So we're just here to beg our members of the parliament to say we want that model, that old model that we used to do, to come back so that we can assist our village, our communities, because the hunger, the starvation that we see in our communities ever since the yield came, yeah, from all those years, because of the destabilization and the land being taken away from other growers. We are fortunate that our land was never taken. So today we're just begging our parliamentary members to work with us, Ukain Growers, because there are black growers who are with Ukain Growers, and we insist that you want to be with Ukain Growers. We've been there from the times of Albert Luthuli. All those growers, they are still there with the sugarcane growers. My father was part of the Congress. My grandfather was with Albert Luthuli in a Crowdville sugarcane farmer. We've had so many destabilizations, so we'd love to ask you to please work with us. And it's such a pity you've been given 25 minutes. I would have loved to share a document on your woman transformation. I'm so sorry. I'm still new. I don't know all the processes. I'm just firing up because I'm so passionate about this. Sorry, guys. Please understand me.
So that is why I gave you a little bit of understanding, because this is your first appearance in Parliament. But this is not how we would normally just fire on. The time for the cane growers is actually over. I said to you before that we could only give 40 minutes, which was double what they had. We're into more than 40 minutes. So I want all of the questions responded to first, and I'm looking at the members. Yours hasn't been, no. Honourable Williams, Honourable Buyani, Honourable Mathlobo, Honourable Kachalia. No, you didn't ask a question, Honourable Eersterhazen. I'm talking about what was asked. All right. So can you respond to all of the questions first?
Yes, certainly. I'll attempt to. I think many of the questions will be answered in the presentation later by SASA, because essentially our presentation was in support of that. But to answer some of the questions raised by Honourable Williams regarding the industry statistics, the $9 billion of revenue that accrues to growers includes the $3.7 billion of export earnings. And of that $9 billion, about $2.75 billion goes to black growers at the present time. With regards to our organogram and our structure, we have a chairperson of our board who's not available today due to the late change in the date of this meeting. Our two vice chair people are Mrs. Ntuli, who is here present, and Mr. Talmage, who is also here present. Our executive CEO is Dr. Kathy Hurley, who is here present. Our chief financial officer is Mrs. Olivia Finnemore, who is not with us, a white female. And our our industry executive is Dr. Thomas Funke, who is also a white male, not here present with us. There were many questions. I'm not sure that I've answered all of them. But maybe you could refresh my memory on some of the others.
What we need is that in writing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Know, because we can't remember all of it immediately. So I'm now looking at the questions that were not responded to. Honourable Mantash, which one? Honourable Kacharya. Oh, Honourable Biyani. Which question? I'm only looking at what was not responded to, colleagues. Okay. Please. Honourable Maslobo.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. Well, with your indulgence, Comrade Chair, because firstly, on behalf of the committee, we have no intention to cast aspersion on the people we have invited. If there is that impression, that's not the position we have. But when we ask questions, Comrade Chair, we are not personal because we want to seek the truth from facts. My case, I know Abu Mdlul and others. Fortunately, I've stayed in KZN and Mpumalanga. You know, when we say you are going to be waiting, Comrade Chair, for the presentation by SARS, it's okay. But I can tell you, your presentation makes it difficult to engage because the points of focus from a transformation agenda, we drove the transformation agenda of the ANC. We know what we talk about. That's why I was giving guidance. For the team to become defensive, Comrade Chair, when they don't have a structure for transformation, and the transformation they want to speak to is in the main, Comrade Chair, about question of representativity. When you look at economic transformation, it has a broader element. It's an advice. And I can tell you, colleagues, now, Comrade Mdlul, when you go to the presentation by the next organization, it's going to be flawed again. Some of us will read so fast. And we had a discussion. That's why there was even an appointment of a consultant. There were people that we knew who are comrades that you appointed as transformation advisors so that we don't speak at each other. We speak to each other because the areas of focus, they are the same. But you are in a better position yourselves to transform your industry because you understand it better. But don't have an impression that we're insensitive. We're not. But at the very same time, we remain unflinching and unwavering with the commitment to change South Africa for the better, to be a country for everybody. That's why the issues of the pillars is something that is outstanding, and probably after we've listened to this, we'll have to agree to say, what are we looking at? So that when we come and engage here, our engagements become more qualitative.
No, thank you, Honourable Maslobo. Honourable Biyani.
Chairperson, thank you very much. My question was not answered in terms of the iconogram, because we want to check exactly who is representing the board here. And it is clear that the PC invited the board to come and present, not the Congress, not the membership, that I've got 27 hectares, then I'm eligible to present. You see, we cannot come here and behave as if we're just playing.
Yeah.
So we must take this into cognizance, Chair, that if we invite board members, let board members come here and present.
Yeah.
Not co-opt and front and do all these things, because we're not here to play. We're here to transform the industry. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Slanguini.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I share the same sentiments as my two other colleagues that have spoken. You know, Chair, when we started this process, you know why we are saying this thing is flawed? Because when we started this process, these were the very same people that didn't want this transformation to happen. They came here with a whole army of lawyers. So for us to say, my brother, this thing is flawed, because we knew from the beginning there was resistance. And that's why we attack it with that perspective, that there was resistance from the get-go, and there will be resistance until we get it right, and we will get it right. And this industry will transform, whether they like it or not liking it. It will transform. My sister, we are not going back to any old system. We are only going forward now. Whether that system was beneficial to you, that's good for you, but it was not beneficial for the majority of the masses, and that we can't allow. Unfortunately, it was beneficiary only for you and my small minority of you,
but it was not. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had this situation here where people have came and complained. Poor farmers came here in the numbers to come and complain about this industry. So we are not going to an old system anytime soon. We are only going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Just a minute. Just a minute. One moment. I have recognized you, Honourable Kachalia. Yvonne, I want another sheet, please. Before members come in, and I know it's Honourable Mantash, Honourable Kachalia, you raised questions that weren't answered. On the cane growers here, we invited board members. Now, already we're aware that two of you are not board members, but we're only aware it now. So I'm just calling out the names. Dr. Kathy Hurley, it just states commercial executive. So does that make you a Congress or board member? Staff, right. Mr. Andrew Russell, board member. Mr. Higgins and Bluley is Congress. Mr. Rex Talmash. Right, Mr. Sydney Rapinga, board member, Mr. Tim Sabisi, and then Ms. Dipua Ntuli. Could you just tell me, are you a board or Congress? Board. And then Ms. Zonelli is Congress, yes. We invited board members, you see, and I wanted that clarified. There's a question you haven't had responded to, Honourable Kachalia.
Thank you, Chair. We're all aware that this industry is being transformed and there is an imperative to transform this industry. Now, and that the cane growers from all accounts appear to be part of this process. They are part of this process because they have demonstrated it, and the point is to evaluate if they are, how robust a part of this process they are. Now, I asked a couple of questions which would lead to answer that. I was led to believe that that would be answered in the SASA presentation. Because, and just to reiterate, what I'm saying is that, what are the totals of independent sugarcane growers, the gross total, and of what proportion of that do you represent, and what proportion of that is emerging black? Then that gives meat to what you say you're doing in your document. So if you can answer those questions, or whether those will be answered in the SASA, I'd be happy. And I'm here to sit an open mind to understand who is participating, robustly, and on what terms. And that's the function of this committee, as I believe it is.
Thank you, Honourable Charlia, Honourable Mantash.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm sorry that I arrived late. This is because of this electricity problem. I was walking four levels up. But here I am, Chair, and I got the meeting already in progress. Chair, I'm a bit lost. I've heard comrades ask questions on the presentation, but my mind is asking questions, because the same growers that have this beautiful presentation today have written to the Sugar Association a letter which I heard yesterday. And this presentation doesn't talk to that letter where they are questioning our gazetted legislation. And so I think there's something that is hidden. I don't understand. I had expected that when the cane growers make a presentation, they will talk to the letter that they wrote to SASA where they were questioning our transformation agenda.
I wanted to wait for SASA to come, so that we could then engage, because as I said, you were not here at the beginning, Honourable Mantash, when I said there are certain cross-cutting issues that we will engage after hearing SASA, etc. Honourable Esterhazen, you were not here either for the presentation, am I correct? But you've heard responses and SASA are coming next, and we really need to hear them. And at the end, we are going to be able to refer to both of them, if that is all right with you. Honourable Esterhazy.
Madam Chair, thank you. When a presentation was done originally, it was mostly, I'm a member of the Nkata Freedom Party. Most of the people that came to do their side here, I'm still emailing, and it was a fee. I am the Zulu, the white Zulu from. So I still speak to those people. And I see on your presentation that the growers would increase with 51% in the next 10 years. But also I've got a concern, and I haven't heard it from any of the... we have a real problem, and it's affecting the people, and that's what they tell me as well. Cheaper imports has brought production down in KwaZulu-Natal. I'm speaking mostly about KwaZulu-Natal now. Brought down production with up to 20%. And that's a concern. That affects everyone, and it affects mostly the smaller growers. We also have challenges like the sugar tariff that's going to come in.
Honourable Esterhazy, those things are being addressed by SASA. That's why I want to stop you. You may raise it when SASA comes up. It's not the sugarcane growers that we're dealing. So I do want you to keep those issues. SASA are coming in now to make a presentation. So I'm going to ask, is it Mr. Andrew Russell, who's a board member, to please, there are a number of questions that you should expand on in writing. And we won't let you speak right now, because I do want SASA, it is 11:15, but at the end, as I keep on saying, you may come in. So we would like SASA now to take the front row, and yourself as, are you Ken Russell, sorry, did I mix you up?
Honourable Chair, no, I'm Rex Talmage. I'm the one of the co-vice chairs. Chair, could I have a few seconds just to wrap up the kangaroo's side?
Are you the most senior person sitting here?
Yes, I'm the co-vice chair, and I'm the one of
right,
the...
Right, no, as long as you're the most senior, you should have started. Go ahead.
Chair, And honourable members, honourable chair, we're very comfortable with the diversity that we have in our organisation, and we don't want to restrict anyone that wants to present and has the capacity to present very, very well. And I'd just like to say, from some of the questions and comments that we've received today, there still appears to be a perception that we don't want to have transparency and openness. Chair, we've extended the invitation before, and we respectfully extended again to members of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry to please come up and spend some time with us in person, and please see it firsthand. We have nothing to hide, and we can clarify and dispel any perceptions or misperceptions that are there. And just one closing comment, Honourable Chair. Insofar as the transformation plan that we've been working towards as an industry, SA Cane Growers has played a very constructive and meaningful part of that, and we will continue to do so. And we believe, as Higgins and Cluely said, that we have an inclusive approach, and we understand that transformation will happen, it must happen, and it must be meaningful and sustainable. That's what we fundamentally believe. Thank you.
Can we please, sorry, this is not working. We have the change. Thank you. I'd like everyone present, Honourable Esterhazy, because you want to deal with the tariffs as well. Fine. All right. We now have SASA here, and of course many of us, we recognise some of you. Mr. Hackman. Hans Hackman, just looking for your presentation. Is this it here? Right. Now that's SAFTA.
it's a South African sugar industry. Here we are. Yes, my title disappeared during the copies. Well, lack of ink, right. Perhaps that was the beginning of the electricity. All right. I do want to, I was in the middle of saying thank you to the cane growers when other issues arose, but we welcome Sasi here. Now, you are the holding, you know, the umbrella. You manage the sugar industry. And it's from you that we seek the clarity, really, on all these structures and members. So you were here, you've heard what has been said. Mr. Hackman.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning, Honourable Members of the Committee. It's wonderful to be in Cape Town today. It's a lot cooler here. It's raining. There's a lot of water when I had a shower this morning. But unfortunately, the electricity's gone. I'm going to be talking you through our slides, and I alert you to the fact that we did number them. So the number of the slide appears in the top right-hand corner. And our first slide is quite colourful. It's the festive season, so we decided to make it quite a colourful slide. And I'm talking today on behalf of the entire South African sugar industry. And you will notice that sitting on my left is the consultant that the industry has employed to assist us in putting together some transformation. He's not a lawyer or an advocate. So that is Mr. Vuyo Jack. I think we did speak about Mr. Jack at our last interaction with the Portfolio Committee. And I'm going to ask, with your permission, whether I can allow Mr. Jack to take us through some of the key slides later on, which deal with the cane farming sector and the milling sector, and and our plan as to how we're going to transform those sectors. I'm now going to move on to slide number two, which really is an overview of the sugar industry transformation plan, and most importantly, how this plan would be delivered. I'm going to start off by just taking you through the three high-level broad objectives of the plan. I think the first one is the remedying of current inequalities experienced by black cane farmers. We see that this is a priority objective of this plan, and it really amounts to a redistribution of the pain from the larger scale growers or farmers to the small scale black farmers. I think you will recall from our last engagement with you, Mr. Madlala put up a very interesting slide, which was a cartoon of people standing next to a fence and the small guy standing on the box, and that is the purpose of trying to sort that problem out. The second objective deals with the introduction of intervention that will accelerate transformation in the cane farming and in the sugar milling sector using our government's Agri-BEE sector codes, which are generally used to measure the level of black economic transformation within the economy, or in our case, within our sector. And then the third one, the objective is to unlock industry growth through diversification into other products. I think we've already identified that this industry is not sustainable going forward just producing sugar, and that we need to diversify our product mix. This will result, hopefully, in more black farmers on the areas that farming cane. We would create more jobs and economic activity in the rural communities. And most importantly, I think there would be a participation by black stakeholders in these new entities that are created. I think very importantly on the second slide, there are three boxes at the bottom of the slide which make up our sugar industry. And on the left-hand side, there are going to be interventions that are coming through the cane farming sector, And there are two organizations that represent all the farmers in our industry at the moment. There's the Cane Growers Association, who we've just heard from. And then there's also the South African Farmers Development Association, SAFDA, who we will hear from later. And between these two organizations, they represent all the farmers that farm sugarcane in our sector. Very importantly, these farmers are the owners of the land, and on the right-hand side of the graph, we have the sugar milling and refining sector, which is represented by the South African Sugar Millers Associations, and certain of the transformation interventions will be delivered through this sector, and that sector is representative of the six milling companies in South Africa, being Ilova, Tongaat Hewlett's, RCL, which stands for Rainbow Chickens Limited, Gledhow, a smaller mill on the north coast, Umfolozi, and UCL. So there are six milling companies in South Africa that make up this sector. Importantly, I am the chairperson of the Sugar Association, and I represent that block that's sitting in the middle. And I have managed to negotiate and get agreed by the South African Sugar Association's Council, which is the decision-making body at the Sugar Association, certain interventions, and I will be taking you through what those interventions are in the next few slides, and then I'm going to ask Mr. Voya Jack to take us through some of the work that he has done with the cane farming sector, as well as the milling sector on the right-hand side, as to what their interventions are going to be with regards to this transformation plan. Quite importantly, whatever has been agreed from a SASSA perspective has been unanimously agreed by the 32 councillors that make up the Sugar Association. And you can see there that there are 16 councillors from the milling sector, and that there are 8 from SAFDA, and 8 from the South African Cane Growers Association. And in order for me to get an agreement to bring anything here, I need to have them to agree that there's an 80 majority of the 80% majority of them have to agree to whatever plan we bring forward from a SASSA perspective. So going on to the next slide, which is slide number 3, and I'm not going to read through this in detail. This basically records the decisions that were unanimously agreed at the Sugar Association Council meeting a few days ago on the 29th of November. And they deal with the interventions that are going to be delivered via the Sugar Association, bearing in mind that the Sugar Association does not get into the business of transferring cane farming entities from white to black, or for that matter get involved in the transformation of the sugar milling sector on ownership and participation in the value chain. We don't own any cane farms, and we also don't own any sugar mills as the Sugar Association. So the decisions taken there are recorded. There are 9 of them, and we have tabled them for you today so that you can read them in detail. I think that the next slide will basically highlight what has been agreed in more accurate numbers and effectively what would be happening over the next 5 years. So going on to slide number, is it 4? Going on to slide number 4. This looks like an accountant's dream, but I will take you through it quickly. There are a lot of numbers here. We start off at the top of this. It's divided into 3 sections. At the top, we're talking about the sugar industry's local market sugar business. We record the local market sales, and we're currently in the 18-19 season, where we are expecting to sell approximately 1.35 million tons of sugar in the domestic market. That should be a lot higher, but there's still a lot of presence of imported sugar in the marketplace that's been stored, and you can see that in the years going forward, we would hope to be selling in the region of 1.5 million tons of sugar in the domestic market. The next line deals with the average local market notional price that we would sell this local market sugar at, and that's where we have to take into account our import tariff, which is currently set at a dollar-based reference price of $6.80, and if you work out the numbers going forward, we have shown here that we would be increasing our prices by approximately 4% per year. Unfortunately, the implementation of that rear component in the calculation of our import duty prevents us really over the next 5 years from taking anything more than a 4% price increase. That's why we have used 4%. We then generate a gross local market revenue and an industry rebates which we fund back to some of the big industrial users like the carbonated soft drinks manufacturers to make them competitive on a global basis, and those are industry costs that are funded by the industry, which leaves us with net local market sugar revenue if we deduct those amounts of rebates forecasted for the next 5 years. The way that we have approached this is that we would make available
Sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you, but we have got a time constraint, so if you can try to be more summing up in your presentation.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry about that. Thank you.
I will do, Mr. Williams. If you see, look at that middle block, it basically puts into perspective what our commitment is with regards to this, and we would be setting aside a minimum of $142 million per annum to remedy the inequalities between the growers, and a balancing amount of $58 million, which will make up a total of $200 million per annum, which will be used in transformation interventions. So it's $200 million in total, multiplied by 5 years, which makes up R1 billion over the next 5 years. We have got a little component in there that says that in the years going forward, that variable amount that we will use is an amount of 0.5% of the local market sugar revenue. And then the portion below that just goes into some of the detail of some of the interventions that we would be implementing as part of the plan. In total, if you take this amount of $200 million per annum, which we commit as a minimum as an industry, it is representative of approximately 1.67% of our annual local market revenue. Going on to slide number 5, which deals with the diversification of our industry, I think as already noted, very difficult for us to be sustainable just looking at sugar production going forward. We believe that it's extremely important for this industry to diversify. This slide really just highlights some of the work that our industry has done in trying to participate in renewable energy dispensation of government. And this work started in 2008. And I can summarize it that as of recent times, we've spent a lot of time redusting off all the work that we have done. We have got consultants working on models as to how we could go about this. We've submitted some of this stuff to the DTI, and we basically look forward to the possible biofuels regulatory framework pronouncements which the Minister of Energy is going to make in March 2009. And we hope that we will be successful in including sugar as part of the renewable energy dispensation going forward. Honourable Chairperson, at this stage, you know, that kind of sums up the part of the plan that deals with what the Sugar Association is going to implement, the interventions through the Sugar Association. And I'd now like to ask whether we can ask Mr. Vuyo Jack just to take us through the next three slides, which deal with a lot of work that he's done with both the cane farming sector as well as the sugar milling and refining sector on looking what their contributions and their interventions are going to be with regards to this plan. So with your permission, over to Mr. Vuyo Jack.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. As Honourable Mashlobo has correctly looked at, there must be pillars on which you base your transformation. And also when you look at the dimensions, there must be the economic dimensions. And what we're dealing with now here is the economic dimension using the Agri-BEE Sector Code, which is a tool coming from the Portfolio Committee and from the Trade and Industry, to be able to say for both the milling sector and the cane farming sector, what is the current contribution? And what Mr. Heckman was talking about was, in addition to what is happening on the ground, this is then the additional commitment. So with the work that we've looked on the ground, we then we're looking at the milling sector as a whole first. Given the period of time, we were able to look at all the six companies and say, what is the reality on the ground on the different five pillars of empowerment? And when you look at the next page, it goes into the details of those pillars. That is page 7. When you look at ownership, management, control, both at board and exco and at employment equity and the skills development, enterprise and supplier development, and also socio-economic development. So using the Agri-BEE sector code, the overall level of the milling sector, there would be, before discounting, they're a level 5. Because on procurement, they're not meeting the minimum targets. That's why they're discounted down to be a level 6. So which highlights that procurement is a real concern, and this is an area that the industry needs to be looking at. And what, and the bulk of the procurement comes from the cane farming sector. And therefore, that's an area that the industry would need to be looking at. And so when you then look at the current baseline, so you'll be looking at level 6, and then what is the aspiration over the next 5 years of the milling companies is that they need to be aspiring towards a level 3 over 5 years. Now, what does that mean? So when to get to this level 6 score, they are spending 242 million as the milling sector. And this means that for them to be able to get to level 3, they need to spend more. And this is the amount that they're spending, taking away what they're committing to in addition to the as an industry. So that's the baseline. And then when we're looking at the cane farming sector, we're looking at around 21,000 farmers or more. And therefore, that process of determining the baseline hasn't been done yet, and therefore 2019 would be the basis, because it gives us a sense what is the level of ownership, how much cane is delivered, and how the different elements, the pillars of the scorecard are contributed to in terms of skills development, the board of the farming entities, and so forth. And that is the work that will then be done from 2019. And therefore, the interim target for that sector is that it should not be less than a level 4, because the level 4, that means that you are getting a recognition level of 100%. So that should be a minimum target. However, when the baseline is done, that target might be higher, because it could actually show that you can't have a target that is not a stretch target. So it needs to be a stretch target. But as a base, it should be a minimum level 4, and that is what we've put there. But because procurement is also a big issue, it therefore becomes important that you need to have a minimum target of 51% of cane delivered by black people. Why? Because cane is, you're measuring the cash that goes to the pocket of black people here. And that's what determines the economic sustainability. And that is why then, as a minimum, that 51% target of cane delivered by black people is going to be critical. Now there's a question, should it be over 5 years?
Staff there says it should be 5 years, and SAK and Grower says, no, it should be over 10 years. But a non-negotiable is that it has to be 51% for the sector to actually make sure that you have the equitable distribution of cash in your pocket. And that's another different element that we're looking at, is that it's not enough to just saying we're spending 252. We need to be looking and saying, out of that 252, how much cash is ending in the pockets of black people? And that's how you measure real transformation. And so over the 5 years, there has to be then a measurement of what the progress is, and based on the cash that has gone to the pockets of the black people. And this is looking at the determination of the cane farming sector and the milling companies. Then over and above that, there's an industry contribution that they will be making over and above these contributions to transformation measured according to the Agri-BE sector code. And then if we go to slide 8, just to be quick. So we haven't done yet the baseline for the cane farming sector. And therefore it becomes important now to, in the next year, to be able to look at. Now when you look at the thresholds of the DTI, it has, for an exempted microenterprise, is 10 million. Now, if you look at 10 million, it's going to therefore exclude quite a number of people from contributing. So therefore, there needs to be looking at saying, with those thresholds appropriate? Because looking at the structure of the sector, therefore, using those DTI codes, thresholds, it might exclude quite a number of farmers from contributing towards transformation, and automatically they get to be recognized to be 100% recognition level. So those are some of the issues that we will be grappling with. But also we need to be looking at the ton cane delivered by the farmers, because to be able to see what is the current status now and to be able to reach the 51% level, whether over 5 years or 10 years, we need to be able to look at the reality on the ground. And also the land under cane should be included in the baseline for each farmer. So that's the, now using the Agri-BE sector code to determine the reality on the ground. So I'll hand over to Mr.
These mics are not working that well. Hans Heckman, I'm just asking, Honorable Williams, did you actually introduce the team? No, it's just making sure we do that first. You've got the chairperson, Ms. Lee, chairperson Hans Heckman of SASA, the vice chairperson, Ms. Lee Kluby. The vice chairperson of SASA is also, two of them, Suresh Naidu, the executive director, Mr. Trix Trickham, Ms. Portia Mpofu, the external affairs director, and the national marketing executive of SASA, Mr. Safisa Mklaba, and Mr. Cedric Boyisa, communications and media manager, and Mr. Vuyo Jack. All right, so you're all here. Has that completed so we can engage, please? Yes, Honorable Matlobo.
Comrade Chair, with your indulgence, because of the interconnectedness of the presentations, with your permission, I was going to propose on behalf of ourselves this side, why can't we give SAFDA some few minutes? Because I just saw that they have a shortest presentation. And then from there, we can
engage everyone.
Yeah, that's my humble proposal, Comrade Chair.
Where are SAFTA, anyway? All right, just a minute. I'm looking around me. Do other members concur? Because time is against us. All right. So we are, Mr. Heckman, I think that's going to be the best, because you need to be here for both of the cane growers and SAFTA. All right. So I'm going to ask the cane growers just to keep three seats together so that SAFTA can go in between. SAFTA can come up. No, SASA will have to stay here. Just move down, please, SASA. Just move down a bit. And can SAFTA just come here? Stay in the front row. Stay in the front row. Perhaps a couple of you in SASA could take two seats at the back. How many seats do you need? One or two? Two. So now you don't disappear, just move down. You see, it's only two seats here. Two, yeah, that's all we need.
We need you close at hand purely because you'll be answering for both. Thank you very much for the presentation, Honourable Mr. Hackman.
Yes, thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I just wanted to summarise the end of my presentation by looking at slide 9, if I may. I think these are very important. Slide 9 tells you really about what our industry's transformation and growth vision is over the next 10 years. And you can see that there is a significant shift that we hope that our transformation interventions will result in, that by the end of 2028, we would be looking to have 51% of the cane delivered from black growers. Now, I know there's a difference between SAFTA and cane growers on that target. SAFTA is saying that that needs to be achieved by the end of the period of our five-year plan, whereas cane growers have said that it's probably more realistic to do it by the end of 10 years. And then if you look at the next slide, which I think is key to the sustainability of our industry, it tells you historically what we have done with our sugar sales. The green portion is our sales into the domestic market, which are protected by the tariff. And you can see that going forward, we're looking at, it is our vision to diversify our industry into renewable energy. And the blue portion of the graph in those latter 7 years is going to be a significant component that makes our industry sustainable going forward. And in 2028, possibly, if everything goes according to plan, we would only be producing 60% sugar and 40% would be biofuel or cogeneration or other products, which we have stated in the in this graph on the basis of a sugar equivalent. So that's kind of the vision of where we want to go. And I think that that will also unlock the ability for us to accelerate the transformation of our industry. So the next slide deals with some of the key information that was asked earlier on.
Sorry, we do have a time problem, yep. So can you just wrap it up, please? Thank you.
Yep. So then that just provides some of the information that was asked, and the second slide, last slide, deals with the sustainability and the growth of our sugar industry and the role that government plays and the unlocking of diversification, the delivery of the land restitution program, the fair and equitable existence of a sugar tariff, and a finalization of a long-term sugar industry regulation for the sugar industry are key in delivering this transformation plan. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you. If we can move straight into the SAFTA presentation, and if you can introduce yourself and your team. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honourable Chairperson. Greetings, Honourable Members of this August House. I am Siyabonga Madlala, the Executive Chairman of SAFTA. On my left here, I've got my Deputy Chairperson of SAFTA, Mam Piwe Sithole, who also farms in Mpumalanga, and I've also got our administrative team. We've got Thandoka Sibiya, who's our head of stakeholder engagements, and we've also got Andile Buthelezi, who's our head of funding and enterprise development. And that being said, we still also claim Mam Lee as part of our delegation. She's the deputy chairperson of SASA, but she is our leader in SAFTA as the deputy chairperson of SAFTA as well. That being said, Honourable Chairperson, I would like to just rush through a second slide in my presentation, which is the meat of the presentation as such. Firstly, we do want to put it clear that as a SASA member as well, we are party to the SASA presentation in terms of SASA's presentation of the transformation plan. We do support it, though we do have a perspective that SASA, if you want to achieve real transformation in the sugar industry, SASA is not the place to shine the spotlight on. You've got to shine the spotlight on the respective sections themselves. That is your milling section and also your cane growing section. That being said, we have seen an attitude problem even at SASA, wherein these parties display different attitudes as to actually enabling the transformation plan of industry. We believe transformation is firstly an attitude change, then it's also a commitment to social, transformation is a commitment to social justice, correcting past inequalities prevalent in our industry. That being said, we've seen SASA as the SASA management playing a very enabling role towards these discussions, and we've also seen the millers at SASMA level playing a very positive role. But we've seen tendencies within KINGCRAS even of reneging from commitments where, because of the voting system of SASA, one party can veto a decision. We've seen a situation where we almost came with a 0-0 commitment to this portfolio committee. We did go back and fought over this, and then we said we cannot come to this portfolio committee and say we are not committing to the reciprocity at all. We are not committing to at least some transformation, but we had already seen a party saying, no, we can't afford it. So those are the things we've seen. And we'd like to stress that for any transformation to be seen as a commitment, it must be embedded in the regulation so that we cannot have people reneging willy-nilly. So until it's part of the gazetted documents, we've seen people commit, and when it's back at SASA, people just renege willy-nilly. We can't afford it, and that's it. Because it's not part of the commitment in law, we can't hold them liable in it. But a worrying tendency that we are really worried about. When we hear people saying they are committed to transformation, meanwhile they're dragging us to courts. We've got a letter that's actually trying to illegitimize the Cambridge Gazette. And it's difficult to stand here to this portfolio committee and say we as industry are progressing on transformative issues when we can't even embrace a government gazette that has actually given effect to the recognition of SAFTA. And as SAFTA, we are worried to the core about that, because that is one of our most celebrations where we are now part of the industry. But as it stands now, SASA has become a court of, it's become a court on its own. It's legal opinion after another legal opinion and another legal opinion in terms of interpreting government's gazette and actually the transformation we are talking about. So we have seen even this morning, we woke up with another letter of seeking legal opinion as to whether are we eligible to even draw these levies as to the support of the organizations. There's a whole lot of arguments about whether the entitlement to us getting the levies, should we be raising our own budgets, or should they should be scrutinized by some party in terms of actually approving our budgets. But we want to call on this portfolio committee to empower DTI now, to take a hands-on role in actually drafting a proper document that's a governing document to this industry in terms of the sugar industry agreement and the constitution. Because at the moment, what we have seen is a gazette that is embellished on top of an old regulation. So people want to see loopholes, find loopholes as to how can we illegitimize it. So we do need SASA to come, DTI to take that. And we have said that any commitments of transformation should not be lip service and presented to portfolio committee, and then when we go back to SASA, we can't afford it. They should be embedded in the regulations and gazetted as well, so that no one reneges on that. We believe in our next slide, we've actually clarified. The same cartoon is a real bone of contention. That until we equitably share the spoils of the industry, we cannot be talking about transformation. We cannot be saying we have transformation. Firstly, we have to see that we level the playing field between the poor of the poor and the and then we go into now the respective sections. In the milling sector, people are hiding under the skirt of SASMA, which is a collective of SASA, which I also see as some of the tendencies within the sections of hiding under the SASA skirt. SASA does not own assets. I stand to be corrected. There's a sugar mill which is 100% owned by German farmers. Not one black supplier, not one black owner in that mill. That's what we're talking about. We've got to shine the spotlight on the respective millers themselves. That is where our growers get unfair treatment, at the miller section, and that's where trade happens. So ownership of the mills and ownership of land is where we should be shining the spotlight on. I want to commend SASA for doing the best they can without owning assets to actually try with coming up with some kind of a distributive measure. But in trying to wrap up, Honorable Chairperson, the reality is we've done at least a fairly good job in terms of getting SASA participating in the industry. But we are getting legal opinions every day as to whether is it legal, is it correct, and so forth. And which SASA, by the way, do not believe there's anything ambiguous as to what the law is saying. We are clear as to what the law is saying, but we do get such attitudes in the industry. That being said, Honorable Chairperson, I would have said much, but I would like to implore that we get DGI hands-on in the runnings of SASA. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Mr. Madlala, Dr. Madlala, the Executive Chairperson of SASTA. Did we introduce all of the members? Well, then that's even better. Thank you. All right. I saw your hand, Honourable Maslobo, Honourable Williams, Honourable Buyani, Honourable Flanguini. Right.
Protesting that I must speak last. Okay.
Members, you see, I think one can advise the Honourable Maslobo to remember he has he's part of a team. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say to SASA that this government doesn't want to shut down the sugar industry in South Africa. We don't want to create a situation where it's difficult for you to do work. We don't want a situation where intervention by government has made it impossible for you to employ people. But we would like to tell you that we are going to move very swiftly down the road of transformation. And the complaints that we've now just heard from the last speaker is very worrying for us, because it seems to me that you come to this committee with big talk of R1 billion over 5 years, and now it's 10 years suddenly. There's been that shift, which is a little bit problematic for me. Slide 3 on your presentation, number 2, talks about 5 years, and now there's another talk about 10 years. So we need clarity on that number, and if we can just stick to one number, please. But I would like to just reiterate the fact that this government will use every tool in its arsenal to ensure that there is transformation within this sector in particular. And I'm a bit disappointed that we're getting different reports from different groups about exactly what's happening, that you come here and we're all happy and we've all agreed and there's transformation, and then you go back and you start vetoing everything that we've agreed upon. And I think that that attitude must come to an end, because at the end of the day, this portfolio committee will be pushed into a position where we'll have to create a law that says the transformation of the sugar industry bill, something along those lines, and we'll force transformation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Buyani, thank you very much, Honourable Maslobo. You really are a team player. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Now we can engage. I just need clarity on page 2 from the SASA presentation. I can see there's SASCA, SAFTA, and the SASMA. I just need clarity on who is SASMA or it's an organization. And in terms of the decision taken by 80% majority, what is 80% majority? Because in democracy, we know of 50 plus 1%. We need also clarity on that one, too. What is 80% of what? Because in terms of the democracy in South Africa, we know that it's 50% plus 1. Chair, also on page slide 3, bullet number 5, SASA has been advised by SASMA. SASA has been advised by SASTA. SASA has been advised by SASCA. So I just want to check what is that, because here, if we look at SASA, we look at as a transformational agenda, a body that will be able to transform both parties, not getting advice from this and that one, a transformation agenda for 5 years, this one transformation agenda for 10 years. We just want to check if SASA are able to deal with the matter or not. If not, they must indicate clear here and now to say they are not able to transform these two structures. I think on that one, I'll be clear on that one. Thanks very much, Chair. And the 2 million per year,
right,
for transformation. This is 200 million per year for transformation. I just want to check in terms of the problem, the plan for this. How are they able to plan this?
Thank you, Honourable Buyani. It will be Honourable Flanguini, followed by Honourable Mantash, followed by Honourable Maslobo.
Thank you very much, Chair. Mine was also on the 80%, if we can get clarity pertaining to that. How does the 80% work? And there was something that I was unsure about. I don't know that you combine the two eights together to get the 16 on top. It's also on the same slide, slide 2. There are 16 councillors appointed by SASMA, and then 8 councillors appointed by SACHO or something like that. Yeah, that's abbreviations. But I just like to check, does how does that, how did you arrive at that amount, and which powers and authorities do those, or voting powers, does those numbers have? And then again, Chair, on the letter issue on SAFDA's presentation, again, it just proves right again that what I've said earlier on, and I'll stick with my statement that I said, that that presentation is flawed. You can't bring a presentation to us and then outside here you go and you give people legal opinions after legal opinions based on some form of technicality of date, budgets, and so forth. If they seek to transform the industry, they could have spoken to SASA properly than to put a legal opinion. So that is how they want to play it, to run this industry through legal opinions. And then that seeks that they are not willing to transform. It proves it. And then secondly, Chair, I want to indicate again, the department is failing us as well. We must also bring them to task. The Department of DTI in this process is also failing because we told them what needs to happen. We even went so far to say to them, give us dates by when is what going to happen. They came, they come and promise us, no, this will happen by this time. Then they leave here, they go and do some other things. And that is why these things are happening, and they have given this SA cane growers a loophole to challenge this thing. And we must find out if it's not deliberate. And if it's deliberate, that person must lose their job. Something must happen. Something must happen. There must be consequences, because we can't continue to talk one thing over and over. Our term is near to end. We have 4 months, 5 months left in Parliament. And part of our legacy report is that we want to see this industry fully transformed. People can't shift goalposts. They said to us before 5 years, now it's 10 years. So you change a goalpost just how it suits you. Can't work like that. We can't work like that. We need to intervene, Chair, and we need to intervene with the Minister in that DTI and see what is happening there. Because somebody is deliberately stalling this thing. I'm telling you.
Thank you, Honourable Languini. Honourable Mantash.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think there's only one solution for us, is to request the department to ensure that the transformation agenda is embedded in the Gazette. Because you can't, we were very, very happy when the industry was showing signs of, or were indicating towards the right. But if they outside that arrangement, that we are happy that the black farmers have an opportunity to sit in SASA, and outside that arrangement, there are some other views that are not championed in the meeting, that are taken to the legal sphere. For me, that gives me goosebumps, Chairperson. Hence, I request that we, as this committee, resolve that all the transformation processes must be in the Gazette, must be stipulated in the Gazette, so that we don't come back here and speak on this matter again. We started doing this last year. We can't be, at this time, be speaking on it. I also don't understand this division of power, Chairperson. This is unfair distribution of power, where one group will be represented by 80%. It's not democratic, Chair. It defeats what we fought for. You can't negotiate from a weaker position. Definitely you'll be defeated. I think something must be done on this balance of power, Chair. But I strongly propose that we go back to the DDG to request that he includes our resolutions in the legislation. Our transformation must be attended to, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mantash, Honourable Matlobo.
Chair, sorry, Chairperson. My initial input was about this letter that Safda is talking about, and now my sense is now I don't know how to put it in English. I'm a Xhosa woman, but I was asking myself about why there's a another talk outside the arranged or the agreed upon structure, that there's some letter written outside the meeting to SASA questioning the integrity of this committee and the integrity of DTI. And in this meeting, nothing of that sort is said by the same people who wrote that letter. And that, for me, is negotiating in bad faith. I think that one must be attended to, Chair. Thanks.
Comrade Chair.
I was just doing a clarity here with Mr. Madima, because I wasn't here for a short while. So I apologize, Honourable Matlobo.
Comrade Chair, thank you. Probably, let's thank the team for the three presentations. But let's be honest with you, what are you reflecting? Because we must be honest to help you so that you can help yourselves. And if there is an element of discomfort, it's okay, Chef, because we want them to be discomfortable going to the right direction, to the kind of society we want. Maybe before I say that, let me just make a small, you know the graph that...
imagination then is always male dominated, even in your mind. We are thinking of men at a particular point at the same footing with white men folk. And the people who are actually involved in the means of production are mostly women. And patriarchy is also psychological, Comrade Chair. We must free the mind. Free the mind so that they can be progressed. There is a fundamental point, Comrade Chair, that we need to raise. One, the issue that there are three presentations, in as much as it's unfortunate, but it's also a good thing that it happened that there are three. The three presentations could see that there is a discord among yourselves. The points of reference are not more or less the same. And at the very same time, you could also see the three presentations are also having undertones of complaints. In other words, there's an element of emergency, of some resistance, in as much as we're trying to move forward. But there are those who are resisting change. Mm-hmm. What is positive? It looks positive that the pillars of transformation, at least for the first time, to a certain degree, you agree with them. At least, Comrade Wheeljack is assisting you there, that the pillars of transformation are there. Mm-hmm. But on the pillars of transformation, Comrade Jack, they are not sufficient. We are looking at the scorecard, but the scorecard is also not addressing the fundamental question. One of the fundamental questions is the structure there in terms of the asset base. And we are not referring to the asset base. We are referring to the premium, which is a contribution of $1 billion, and in terms of the subsequent, but this is the point of convergence there. As long as you don't address that, the question of the asset base and the value chain, that economic element is not concluded. Then the transformation pillar, they let the social component, communities around where your operations are happening. Whether it is after, whether it's the other ones, you don't care about communities. And your transformation pillar on social impact is not there. Then when you finalize that plan, you will have to include the element of environment now. Remember that the issues of global warming, Comrade Chair, there is times of droughts, there's a time of flooding, but then there's a time that has an impact on production. But you also have to look at the question of technology. The people that you see today, in the next 5 years, your industry will have been revolutionized because of the use of technology to do efficiencies and so forth. And what does it mean on this thing? Your point of difference is the time horizon, which is 5 years versus 10 years. This is where your transformation advisor and the department must come in to facilitate that you conclude the transformation framework as an agreement. It's important. The department, Comrade Chair, can't be a bystander. It has to be actively involved. So that you can sign, you will not be in a position to disagree. Then the issues around the regulations. They have said that there are people who actually want to undermine regulations. It says there is no cohesiveness. There are people who are trying to resist change, and it's natural. And it's a deep set of faulty lines you experience now. But those of you at leadership, how are you providing leadership? Yesterday, when everybody proclaimed that they love the new South Africa that we want to build, of a truly united, non-racial, democratic, prosperous. Yesterday, for the first time, you could see that our deep-seated past is still there, where certain people, for historical reasons, they don't want to move from the past. They chose yesterday to actually say, no, land must not be shared among those who live in it or who work in it. This thing that your committee is also cosmetic. You know that you've brought everybody on board. It's cosmetic, I can tell you now. I can tell you without any fear of it. We are perpetuating inequality on the basis of economic assets. Those who have more economic assets because of historic reasons are given more say in the board. This is a facade. We are just playing with us. And we're old, you could see. We're leaders of our country. You guys are not honest. We have brought them on board. We are just window shopping. There is no equality. If I have 5 million in the pocket, someone has 5 cents, they say it must be on the basis of economics. And those who are advising Comrade Jack and those that from the DTI, can you facilitate this thing? It's unacceptable. It's an impact. Bring them on board because we respect them. But you are not only bringing them on board because you want them to be there, but also they must work hard too, to add value. But transformation and change has this thing of 80-something, with due respect, I don't have words to say, it's very fun, and it makes me sick. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Matlobo. With Honourable Khadebe.
So, thank you, Chairperson. I think that what we must be reminded of is that today is exactly 5 years since Nelson Mandela passed on. And then the old man gave a good basis for racial reconciliation in the country. But out of that racial reconciliation, he ensured that there's a transformative constitution, Act 108 of 1996. So what I appeal for, Chair, is that let us respect him in all the things we do. Because part of that constitution is very clear, that there shall be equality. And the issue of equality, Chair, is very fundamental. So if you are going to have an institution whereby the vote, the decision is going to be taken by 80%, whereas the constitution is very clear, it's 50 plus 1. There's something wrong. That thing is unconstitutional. Actually, what I actually advise, I think, those people who are involved, go to any legal clinic and challenge the constitution. It will be thrown out of court. Go and challenge that constitution. Mazala, I'm telling you, go and challenge that constitution. It's going to be thrown out. It's going to be thrown out of the court. So because it is anti-transformative, anti-transformation, it is also anti-equality. So, but in order for us to go forward, we don't need to push people. I think that Mandela set a tone that we must voluntarily, those people who are at the, that's why the constitution, acknowledge those people who contributed to the building of the country in the past. But we must also recognize that there were people who were isolated during that time. So those guys who were in the past, who were empowered in the past, must be able to share that. I think that's the issue. We don't want this thing to be taken into the streets where it can be decided on the courtroom. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. We're going to allow Sasa to respond, I think, in this first instance. And then after you have responded, Sasa, for others to come in, especially, you know, you're on the floor now, Pastor, but others as well. Thank you. I understand, and I am surprised, and that may have been on our fault, the secretariat, including myself. I believe that there were Millers here, and they have an association as well, but we didn't invite them to make a presentation. And certainly that is part of the transformation of the sugar industry, and it would be important next time not to overlook that. All right. But let us now start responding. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I think there were quite a few questions raised around, is this a 5-year or a 10-year plan? I think in SASA's mind, this is definitely a 5-year plan. And our commitment is a minimum of 200 million rand through SASA to be delivered on transformation interventions, which I think appear, the detail of which appears on our slide number 4. So there's absolutely no doubt about it. It's a 5-year plan. I think the 10 years came in from, there is a difference of opinion between SAFTA and SA Cane Growers as to by when we could achieve that 51% of the cane delivered in this industry comes from black growers. Okay. So it's not something that SASA is disputing. We are saying that this is definitely a 5-year plan. And we have really presented here as slide number 9, the lowest common denominator, if you can call it that, so that it's 51% by the year 2028, because we haven't been able to reach agreement on that point at SASA because of the voting procedures at SASA, at Special Council. Mm. Okay. With regards to all the questions raised around the concept of how we operate as the South African Sugar Association, the South African Sugar Association operates on the basis that 50% of the industry is the sugar milling sector and 50% is the cane farming sector. Previously, the Sugar Millers Association appointed half of the councillors onto the Sugar Association, and the Cane Growers Association, before the existence of SAFTA, represented all the farmers in the industry, and they represented they appointed the other 50 councillors on the other 50% of the councillors onto the Sugar Millers onto the Sugar Association. So you have the Sugar Association in the past, which had half of its councillors millers and half of its councillors as growers. With the emergence of SAFTA,
the cane farming sector now has two organizations, so that 50% cane farming sector representation on SASA has now been split into two. And I think the whole theory and the whole background behind the Millers Association having 50% say and the cane farming sector having 50% say at SASA is because they are partners. They are reliant on each other. The Millers can't exist.
Just one moment. I know that you are trying to be helpful there, but this is a committee meeting, and hello, just a minute. You, whatever you want to distribute, I'm not aware you're a member of my staff. If you are, please correct me.
She's a new member of staff who's just assisting and helping, and she's been asked to
help. Well, it would have been very helpful if she had been introduced to the chair. Because I really didn't know where it was. You're representing Millers, cane growers, Sarsa, or what? Please. All right. You may continue then to distribute. Thank you. Right, do continue.
Like I said, I was just taking it back as to why there's this 50% representation from Millers and 50% representation from the cane farming sector. Is that because those two sectors are partners in the industry? Okay. The sugar millers can't exist without the sugar cane being delivered to their factories. And the sugar cane farmers can't exist without there being mills to deliver their cane to. So the decision-making power through SASA has always been 50-50 between the sugar milling sector and the cane farming sector. Okay? And the transitional amendments that were published on the 9th of October basically just said that the cane farming sector is no longer just represented by the South African Cane Growers Association. There are now two organizations. There's SAFTA and there's South African Cane Growers Association, and they will send equal councillors that represent the cane farming sector in the Sugar Association. Okay, so hopefully that explains why it is structured like that. As to why we published in the amendments the concept of an 80% majority, I think the amendments took care of the next 2 years where there are transitional arrangements in place to enable SASTA to establish itself as an organization in the industry. And I think the 80% majority was put in there to enable that that each party in the industry that the majority of the industry would be empowered to negotiate a longer-term solution that would be acceptable to all parties. Prior to that amendment, the majority vote at SASA was 50 plus 1%, subject to one councillor from either one of the sections being part of the majority. Okay, so this is a recent introduction, which is that came about with the amendments to implement these transitional arrangements, which theoretically end in 31 March 2020, and there is an opportunity for us to negotiate a longer term arrangements, which will then be another amendment to the Constitution of the Sugar Association. I hope that puts provides you with an answer to some of the questions raised.
You've completed, Mr. Hackman.
I'm just checking my notes here if there are any other parts of this that I should be commenting on. I think a lot of the comments probably need to be answered by either SAFTA or the Cane Growers Association. And I think there were also comments made about
the DTI needs to get involved in putting the legislation together.
Right, no, thank you very much. We are going to ask DTI to come in just at the end and a comment because we would require certain things to be done. So who's coming in first, Susta, followed by cane growers to respond to some of the issues raised?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I do apologise on this not having women as part of our thinking into the future. And that has to be corrected. We do respect their contribution to the organization as well and SAFTA. But on the issue of the, that's what actually makes SAFTA ungovernable and dysfunctional, voting or paying. Because one party can just veto it and just say no for the sake of saying no. Meanwhile, we do need to encourage conversation amongst parties. Because if the voting, for argument's sake, was 50+1, it would mean people have to engage others to buy in onto their discussion. Yes, as an organization, we are young. There could be a downside to it. What if people collude against SAFTA? But the reality is, that's what it is in terms of democracy, because if we don't exercise that democracy, people just veto it and just for the sake of just saying no. But also, Madam Chair, I think it is one thing to say that while sitting down on the issue of the history of the sugar industry, Chief Albert Luthuli actually advocated for an organization of black farmers. There was a slide which we put up for the committee to see, where he said if he had not re-established our organizations, our lot would phase off. We cannot be trying to effect transformation when you are subsumed into an organization that represents the apartheid legacy. Because the reality is it's entrenched in its foundations. But here we are bringing about a new change by actually allowing that new voice comes in and bring about change. So from where I'm sitting, we always find this creeping up that, no, this organization has been there long transformed, but the black crowds are continuing to be declining and collapsing. There's a strong imbalance in terms of who do you satisfy in your organization, the rich or the poor. The rich being the ones who are paying for the organization's sustainability. And we've heard that we're told, he who pays the piper calls the tunes, and that's what has always been the ethos of decision-making in the industry. So we do appeal to the department to bring about effective transformation in terms of meaningful transformation in terms of the legislation. Thank you.
You're proposing essentially 50%+1 as a proposal. You know, that's what you're talking about, just so that I'm clear.
Yes, Chairperson. In fact, we would also want to look at how is it that the voting, as it happens in other sections, that it's not a one-man, one-vote kind of an arrangement. We do want to even look at that, because in reality, the numbers would show you that even in the governance structures of the industry, you'd be having more black people participating there because of the numbers. So the one-man, one-vote would have done that, but the industry has always had an arrangement of saying, especially in the cane growing sector, it's about the tonnage, one-ton, one-vote kind of an arrangement.
Well, we know we would never have achieved transformation on that basis. Like, if you own a plot of land, you vote. Anyway, Honourable Khadebi, just a clarification.
No, Chair, I think that we are coming. I'm worried about the time, as you know, that we've got a serious engagement in the afternoon. But, Chair, what I strongly propose here is that the committee must not even wait for the department DTI to come with transformation. Let's pilot a committee bill so that it must deal with this, so that the first thing which the incoming committee in 2019 must deal with that, because we cannot, even this is of structure, we cannot have one organization at 50% when this thing has changed. There's something wrong, so we must bring that balance so that everyone, that 50% must go down, so that it can take into consideration the others. Thank you, Chair. Am I supported on that?
Yes, great.
Oh, sorry. Honourable Tanguini?
Oh, sorry, Chair. I'm in between. I'm writing notes and everything because I'm speaking on all three this afternoon. I fully support because we need to really see this thing through. And we need to find every way possible in our disposal to see that transformation is happening within in the sector. So I support the committee.
Thank you very much, Honourable Flanguini. A proposal seconded. Are there any objections? No. Right. I really need to go to the cane growers. We've got half an hour to do minutes, the annual report, and so many things, and we need to get this decision on the way. Cane growers, please.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, thank you. Honourable Mantash and Honourable Slanguini have both raised the matter of the letter that was sent, so I'd like to address that to all members. With all due respect, to explain it in context, that was a letter, it was an internal matter that was sent to SASA. It was requesting clarity on some very practical and pertinent aspects. It had no intention of being brought here prematurely to the Portfolio Committee, because there's a scheduled meeting of the industry leadership tomorrow to deal with it. Chair, just to give some context, though, for what it's worth, not just to leave it as brief as that, the two compelling aspects are just requesting clarity on the legal validity, and the reason behind that, and Honourable Mantash, with all due respect, there was no intention to misconstrue that or the request in clarity on it with our resistance to transformation. That's categorically not true. The reason for requesting clarity is that in the current backdrop, with us being directors of the company, in the current backdrop of all of the various commissions of inquiry and all the issues on the go, we have a fundamental fiduciary duty in the instance that there was some major issue and there was some class action, that we've actually acted with our fiduciary duty and our members' interests at heart. I'll give you an example. For example, in the Gazette it makes mention of the three associations, that being SAFTA, Cane Growers, and the Millers Association. They will simply submit their budgets for the year. It makes reference to this year, 2018, and for the next year as well. It makes reference to submitting budgets, and those budgets will be an industry obligation. In other words, there will be cross-subsidization. And I'll give an example of where there's a lack of clarity on that and how it could be not only unworkable, but it could have unintended consequences. Let's take our own association, Cane Growers, for example. If that were applied and the current budget was modified and it was simply extrapolated from the current budget of 49 million rand, and in a year or two's time, suddenly a budget was submitted of 300 million rand. And it was motivated by the chairman of the day or chairperson that they believe that that's what the organization needs to conduct its, to discharge its objectives. And there are unintended consequences because of financial impact. We have to seek clarity on that, on exactly on what basis those budgets must be done. So please, there's absolutely no intent on confusing the clarity sought with our intent to see transformation happen meaningfully and sustainably.
Okay. Well, you see, it was raised by SAFTA, the reference, and hence we took it up after it was raised by SAFTA here in the meeting. We don't have the time to dig into it and go into it entirely. And I think that at this point, we may need, where is DTI? Yes, could you just come? And I can't see your head, I just saw your hand then. But could you just come up closer where I can see your face? Please, is that Ms. Pele?
Yes,
Chair. Ms. Tandi Pele. And your colleague, huh? Is that Ms. Umisa Mkata Mkloli, Agro Processing Chief Director? You have heard the engagement. You've heard the concerns raised by the committee. And indeed, we are deeply concerned that possibly you may have lifted your eye from the road ahead. And we would like your eye to go back to the journey and also the milestones that we requested for transformation. And we would like you to engage with Indeed, the principles of DTI, including the highest level, so that we do effectively address it, because there does appear to be some confusion in the transformation journey that we understood was agreed to, you see. Secondly, something was raised here by SAFTA, apparently something in a letter which I assume was received by SAFTA in their function or membership of SASA. I'm making that as an assumption. And certainly, I think while we appreciate you sought clarity on the matter, as we are not directly in possession of the letter, we're unable to say you sought clarity or you threatened. I mean, because if we were able to study it, it would be different. So we would want to pursue this further in the early year, but as the cane growers have said here, is that yourself then, is it Mr. Rex Talmash? As you yourself indicated, while there's an impending meeting and all you want is clarity, and far be it for us to prevent you seeking clarity on something. On the other hand, we are deeply concerned about what we even heard here is some misunderstanding about a 10-year milestone and a 5-year milestone. And yes, I'm also equally confused as to what milestone. When we started on this journey, we said we would pursue it with the same vigor the late President Nelson Mandela pursued things, and he said, nothing is impossible until it is achieved. Indeed, no one, for one second, thought we would have a bloodless democracy in action. Many people invested in canned goods, shipped out, and sold their houses. I bought one such house cheaply. And there it is. And then the poor chap came out, please buy back my house. I'll give you more money. I said, no, I like it. Now, I'm just saying, you see, there was that kind of environment and climate. And yet, yes, we're facing challenges now, currently. But there has been a great deal achieved. We have a constitution. We have a non-racial South Africa. And we gave one person one vote. Imagine if we tried to introduce some sort of franchise there. So I ask all of us in this year, which celebrates the centenary of 100 years of his birth, if we can't for a moment apply our minds more seriously to the matter, to reach a solution that you can bring here. Otherwise, there's a proposal on the table that if we don't move faster, we will do what we did with the National Credit Amendment Bill. We will propose that the next committee in the sixth parliament actually develops a committee bill. But we would prefer it if change came from yourselves in an organic manner, not a mechanical matter. So it is an appeal to all of you. Yes, we've made progress. I'm not going to say we haven't. There is progress. But it's the equivalent of telling your little toddler, oh, good, great man, you're walking. Meanwhile, the kid's falling all over the show. But the fact of the matter is, we need to make greater progress. Ladies and gentlemen, of the three organizations present, that includes Mr. Martin Mahali, chairman of the Millers Association, Ms. Robin Richards, Industry Affairs Manager Ilova, Mr. Dave Thompson, Group Eco Development Executive RCL Foods. It includes all of you. So it is an appeal to you. But our words should not be taken lightly. there is a proposal that's been made and adopted, which will be in our legacy report. Please try to make it happen before the 6th Parliament, that you iron out these differences that you currently have, because you've still got a journey ahead. I mean, once you've resolved this difference, don't think it's all tickety-boo. No. So I want to thank you. I really do want to thank all of you sitting here, including those of you who perhaps feel that you, you know, people may, you thought the people were insulting you. We weren't. We are alarmed at the slow pace. That is really what we say. And when we hear that possibly, you know, things are not all that legal and you want to review that, makes us wonder. So I want to thank you. I can't really give you any time other than 30 seconds as you close off, starting with the cane growers, SAFTA, ending with SASA. 30 seconds, please. That's what the half does.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, from SA Cane Growers' perspective, we will continue to feed in constructively to the process. We would like to achieve sustainable and meaningful transformation. We would like the intended beneficiaries of transformation to indeed be the recipients. And we would like it to be attained in a sustainable way. We wouldn't want to see an industry that already is under economic pressure. We have the imperative of transformation, but we wouldn't want to see the entire sustainability of the sector undermined because of the pace at which, and that is something that was raised earlier by my good colleague, Mr. Matlaila, about a reneging of agreements, and I don't share the same perspective on how it was done. It wasn't a reneging on commitment to transformation. It was the affordability aspect and the pace at which it was implemented, not undermining the entire objective. Thank you, Chair.
Later. Yes, Honourable Matlaila, SAFTA.
I think from SAFTA's side, it is just to say thank you so much for this portfolio committee to have actually helped shine the spotlight on this industry to try and catalyze transformation within this industry, because it wouldn't have happened otherwise. And we continuously draw from your wisdom and ask that you continue keeping oversight over this industry, especially for the poor of the poor who can't really sit on negotiating tables with their counterparts as equals. So we appreciate that. And going forward, we believe we will see meaningful transformation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mr. Matlaila. Yes, Mr. Hackman for SASA.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. Also from SASA's point of view, I think we will definitely dedicate ourselves to continuing to try and orchestrate a meaningful transformation plan for this industry as soon as possible. And also like to thank you very much for the interest that you've shown in our industry, the guidance that you've given us, and the support that we have had from you. And we wish you a pleasant festive season. Thank you.
We wish you all pleasant festive seasons with the family. Thank you very much. You may take your leave, but very quietly, we have got to close off reports. Honourable Members, we have before us the minutes. Let's do that first, please, and then the formal consideration of the committee's annual report before we do the high level. The first set of minutes, 14th November. And we check the first page against the signed page. Is everyone there who should be? Yes, yes, yes. Right. So that's page one. Page two. Honourable Bouyani. Ah. Yes, Honourable McLaubel.
Adoption.
Chairperson, I second the proposal.
Thanks, Honourable Williams. We then move to the 20th.
and that is page 1, checked against the register, right, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. We have Honourable Williams.
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Seconded by the Honourable Booth. Aunt Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I second the proposal. Thank you.
The 27th of November, page 1. Checked against the register at the back. Right, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Right. Honourable Kadebi, are you proposing?
Yes, Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 27th.
Thank you very much. Seconded by Honourable McLaughlin.
Yeah, I'm seconding, Comrade Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable McLaughlin. There seems to be some concern. Honourable Mkhadebi.
Chairperson, on that day, Honour Comrade Mwane was in the Committee of Energy, and then it was I reported that into the meeting.
I remember, Chair, that amendment that you
have. All right. So I take it the two of you are proposing and seconding with that amendment. Thank you. I'm just checking. Yes, we've even got the apology here. Right. Then, members, we move immediately to the annual report. Is that right, Ms. Sheldon? I'm looking at the minutes, where's the... Oh, it's a green one, green. You were handed this out earlier. And I see no reason to belabor this. Do you wish to add anything? Do you wish to change something, amend it? Right, let's go to the last page here, the summary, which is page 29. Oh dear, sorry. 30. No, there were some earlier suggestions, sorry. International agreements. Annual report. Report of that undertaken. Effectively, were there any conclusions? Page 6. Page 6. Yeah, I hope you studied that page. Page 6. The localization, etc. We may wish to now add the continuation on the sugar issue, the sugar industry issue. Can we add that, please? I'm sure, no, someone said it is there. Monitoring progress. It's not just monitoring the progress. The committee at this meeting also made a proposal to expedite the transformation. But that's it, basically. Have you got anything on the NLC? Because that's ongoing. Okay. Key challenges emerging. Poorly drafted legislation, delayed introduction. Historically, the entities have a track record of good governance, but recently we've had these issues. Unpredictable changes, yes, in the parliamentary program. Member serving on multiple committees. Parliamentary program, as far as possible, should maintain its main framework. The designation of committee weeks versus plenaries. Members should be allocated to serve on only one, right? And I think we ought to qualify that by indicating given the substantive mandate that the DTI has. I think that's sufficient, is it not? Right. Can we have someone to propose adoption of this report? Honourable McLaubel?
Tim, I move with those amendments that we do that, but on the sugar index, the amendment must be clear that there has to be a consideration of a committee being, like you summarized. That's what we agreed in the previous one. But the rest, I'm happy. And your conclusion at the end to say it should be dedicated to, because of the mandate is vast. Yeah, and I think that's very fair, Comrade Chair. But I move. Thank you.
Chairperson, I second.
Thank you, Honourable Williams. We then have the formal consideration of the report of the High-Level Panel on Assessment and Key Legislation. You've had this many times coming forward. Let's have it. Sorry, Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, are we allowed to talk on this report? Chairperson, I'd like to refer everybody to page 10 on 5.1. On the proposal or the conclusions and proposed, 5.1 says continue to monitor DTI and its entities contribution to reducing red tape and administrative burden on businesses. I'm a little bit concerned about that because I think that one of the administrative burdens on businesses is labor relations, and I don't think we should do anything that upsets or removes the rights that our workers have got, and I don't think we should even imply it. So perhaps even on 5.3, it also talks about administrative and compliance burden. I mean, what is a compliance burden? Does that mean people don't want to comply to our legislation? I mean, I don't know if we should put things like this into this report or we should accept things like this. I'm just asking about that because I think that we do have progressive labor laws that are seen by some people as administrative burdens to business, and I don't think that we should look anywhere near changing those or encouraging either the department nor the entities to do that. Thank you.
I think the issue was around registering a business, per se. And, you know, I'm looking here, the ease of doing business. And, in fact, they have improved on that quite significantly. We are not small business, and many of the issues around that refer to small business, co-ops, etc. So I think, you know, in that respect, it may well apply to small business in many issues. But the compliance, you know, there's a recommendation here on the BEE legislation. A large yet a first-time inexperienced employee bears the same cost to the employer as an experienced worker. So they were recommending that enterprises below a certain size be exempted. And in fact, they are in DTI. They exempted from even paying on SIPC. I don't know if you know that. Yes, Honourable McLaughlin.
I think what Comrade Williams is raising, probably we can just do a small amendment to say we'll continue to monitor a government's or DTI, whatever, ability to create a conducive environment and the ease of doing business in the country. We leave it broad without trying to zoom it in, but I have an understanding, but I know that DTI and government in particular, including the work that President is doing, there's been a lot of initiative. We just have to monitor that the environment remain conducive.
I think one would agree, because a lot of what is said here applies to small business development and not to ourselves. And I think the way you have reworded it, Honourable McLaubel, is more effective and actually conveys what we mean and what we agree with. Do you want to read it, Ms. Sheldon, to see whether you've captured it right?
So my understanding is we're just changing the first part of 5.1 to read, continue to monitor the DTI and its entity's ability to create a conducive environment and ease the cost of doing business, I mean, as well as the support in facilitating an appropriate regulatory environment for investment, particularly in the manufacturing sector.
Right. Yes, but to let Honourable McLaughlin.
I think that the last part, the particularly in the manufacturing sector, let's not put it there. Let's just stop there, just a regulatory environment for investment, we stop there. Then it looks okay. Because there are a number of other sectors that we need to look at.
Honourable McLobo, Honourable Williams.
Chairman, 5.3 also talks to the that administrative and compliance burden is not excessive, does not impede the objectives of reducing poverty, unemployment, and inequality. I'm also of the opinion that we have to somehow reword that so that it doesn't imply that the department is going to actively pursue reducing the rights of our workers in big companies. Thank you, Chairperson.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm a little bit cautious on the whole sentence. Let me take Honourable Khadebe first, and then yourself, Honourable McLaughlin.
Chairperson, I think the word which is wrong there is burden, because it cannot be a burden. It is an imperative that we have transformation. So remove the word burden, and then...
To ensure the... to ensure compliance.
Comrade Chair, different
yes,
view.
Yes.
I think the sentence that starts to say furthermore should just be deleted in totality. The issues around challenges and environment are already captured in 5.1 the way we've summarized. And the issues that we're raising, Comrade Williams is raising them, ours that BEE at the end must achieve economic transformation, balance with job creation and economic growth. We stop the coverage chair.
All right. Are we agreed?
Yes.
Yes. 5.4. Yes, I think monitoring the implementation.
Comrade Chair, on this one, I think we need to be specific. Are we speaking about the national credit, what is? I think we just have to use the word in full, that's all. Because the committee makes reference to it.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, the high-level panel, I mean.
5.5.
I think 5.5 and 5.4, I think we just have to delete 5, because the monitoring is in a broader, if you monitor the bill, all the aspects of the bill, whether reckless lending and other issues, I think 5.5 is not necessary, Chair.
Just that the reckless lending penalties are in the original Act. And not the principal act, and not in the bill per se.
Right. So we don't want to tackle reckless lending. Yeah, we have to. Yeah, Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, 5.5 says evaluating whether the penalties for reckless lending are appropriate. In other words, then I don't know what they currently are, but they might be a criminal offence. We did that in the. Yes, they're not a criminal offence. So are they? That's all that we have to do there. It's appropriate. So I'm assuming they're going to look forward in time and see if there's more reckless lending, and then maybe,
McLaughlin, I wanted it in because it's the major reason why this thing failed. Honourable McLaughlin?
No, I agree, Comrade Chair. The 5.5 remains as it is, but... No, let's just separate it. And then the 5.6, Comrade Chair, I would suggest that 5.6 must follow 5.3. In terms of synchronizing.
What we're going to do, members, please. We're going to adopt and then... It'll be distributed through email to everyone. But we need to adopt it now. Honourable McLaughlin, Honourable Williams.
I formally move for the adoption of those amendments.
Thank you, Honourable McLaughlin, Honourable Williams.
I formally second, Chairperson.
Thank you. Right. Now we're moving to the, we've done the high level, we've done the formal, and now the first draft, you were given that. At some point in time, that was handed out.
first term, the program. Now, obviously, this is to ensure they can start booking venues. Really, that's the main purpose. So can we have someone officially, Honourable Williams, and yes?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the program, for draft program, thank you.
Seconded by, Honourable?
Seconded.
Seconded by the Honourable Khadebe, thank you. Now, this is our last meeting, and Honourable Mantash, I'm sure you want to share this with us, all of us here, but I do believe all members of the committee, even those who are not here but just fine-tuning their speeches, they agree that the staff, we want to thank all members of staff for their efficient, 90% efficient, and effective support. Some members have been more effective or staff members than others. Honourable Mr. Janssen, please do not engage a staff member when I am. An honourable member. An honourable member. Can you just please? Right. Honourable members, so that is a formal resolution which we're taking for the staff and to wish them well in the period of the festive season with their families, safe journeys, and a safe return to their work in 2019. Thank you very much. Is that correct? Yeah, I am coming. The staff come before us. Now, Honourable Mantash, I just want to thank all of you now, all of the honourable members. We have differed with some, but I think that also makes for more robust legislation. And I do want to thank all members. It is the hardest working committee, if I say so myself. And it's not because of me. It is because of each individual member's contribution and dedication. Thank you. And we want to wish you well. All those in the festive season, you may practice different faiths and get home safely to your families. And yes, Honourable Khadebe?
Chairperson, as a matter of principle, the ANC always have the last word in Parliament. So even here, it must have the last word. So Chairperson, I think that we concur with you, in particular, in the support of staff for the steering work they've done. We agree with you. We support that, which is in report. Also, the members of the ANC in particular, these are the best troops you can have, even the support staff. And then also, the people who are always interested in our work, the PMG people, who are always here and recording our things. So when you want to find staff, just go to them. You get it as of yesterday. But what I want to do, tell you from the bottom of my heart, from being the best chairperson around the block. You must know that you are the best girl in town.
Thank you for that, and thank you to members of DTI for their support. And on record, I want to note that we have had a cooperative relationship with the department. Thank you. Honourable McLaughlin. Thank you. Meeting adjourned until 2019 February.
Wow, thanks a lot. You dropped something. What did you drop? Oh, no, I didn't see what it was. It just heard.